Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Merry Christmas. My name is Kirk, and it's so good to see all of you. I see some new faces, and we especially want to welcome those of you that are here with us for the first time to our gathering here of Scio Community Church. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a great day to remember both the past and look forward to the present. The season of Advent is one of waiting, and one of waiting for someone very special. And no, it's not Santa, although some of you are waiting for Santa to come, but the waiting for the Messiah, that for thousands of years, people were waiting for this promised child. And then he arrived, then he left, and he's coming again. And we are in the in-between, the now and the not yet. This morning, we stand between two pillars of history, the first coming of Christ and the return of Jesus Christ. And it's an awkward time. Because we look back, we look forward, we try to stay in the present, we look to the future and the past all at the same time. You saw the scripture from Matthew. And as we await Emmanuel, God with us, I want to say to you this morning that this season, this celebration that we anticipate, the coming of Christ, it is something rooted in the past. It is something that we look forward to in the future. But it's also something very real in the present. As Ben said, we're going through a series called Carols, and we're looking at key words and phrases in some really popular Christmas carols, not so much for the carol's sake, but for what they mean, the words, the lyrics, the content. And we've been looking at four classic ones, and it's my hope and prayer that as you hear these songs after Sundays, that certain words, key phrases would trigger thoughts in your mind. I want to mention, as I have in the past, that this particular series, it's been done and produced with the assistance of Craig Rochelle and LifeChurch.tv, the creators of the amazing YouVersion app. How many of you have the YouVersion app? How many of you want an iPad or iPhone or Android or something for Christmas, and then you can get the free YouVersion app? No one wants any toys for Christmas. Oh, sorry, some of you. It's a totally free Bible. And it's more than just a Bible. Every couple months, they seem to add new features and videos and notes and languages and translations. It's absolutely phenomenal, the work that Life Church TV does. But as the past few weeks, Life Church has a little elf. Actually, his name is David. And, well, check this out.
Hey, guys, we're here doing some reverse caroling. We're here to sing me a Christmas carol.
I'm going to say not. But we're talking about Emmanuel. We've sung O Come, Emmanuel. Just a little note about the great carol. Well, actually, going back a few weeks, we looked at a thrill of hope in O Holy Night, a thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. And we said that we are living in a very weary world, and yet we can have hope. 2 weeks ago, we looked at O Come, All Ye Faithful, and discovered that we can be joyful and triumphant, even though we're not always the most faithful of people. And last week we said that although Away in a Manger mentions the little Lord Jesus, he's no longer the 8-pound, 6-ounce little baby Jesus, but instead he is Lord. He is master. He wants to be master and ruler and king in your life. But that's actually a really good thing, even though we are so reluctant to seize and give up control of those things in our lives. And today we're looking at the carol, O Come, Emmanuel, and this key word, Emmanuel, God with us. The lyrics were written actually between the 8th and the 12th century. Any of you remember the writing of that? It's been a few years ago. I mean, that's a long time ago, actually. People would often sing or chant these phrases that begin with the letter O, which is why we have like, O Come, O Come, O Come, All Ye Faithful, O Come. That was like a big deal back then. It's not quite as common these days. But the key word, of course, is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that as we celebrate and prepare to celebrate your birth, this is not merely an event that we can do one day a year, but it's a daily celebration for those of you that know, those of us that know you, that know that you came and you lived and you died and you rose again and that you are alive and real today. And I pray the simple prayer this morning that you would be with us like never before. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Emmanuel, God with us, just a little interactive moment together. What does that mean to you today? What does it mean that God is with you? Anybody? Never alone. Indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
To see Him working.
To be changed. What was that?
Courage and strength.
Yeah.
Blessed.
Emmanuel, God with us. Have you ever prayed for God to be with you? I mean, I think we've all prayed that from time to time. It's really, in a sense, it's one of those silly prayers. You know those silly prayers? Those prayers that if you really stop and think about it, it really doesn't make a lot of sense, logically. It does express our heart's desire. God, we want you to be with us, but the reality is, He already is. He's already with us. We've all had moments of loneliness and depression, and I wonder how many SOS prayers that God hears every day from people desperate in a particular situation. God help, God help. I mean, people that don't even talk to God in moments of crisis cry out to Him. They say that there's no atheists on an airplane that's about to crash. Everybody's calling out to God, help, God, help. And it's been said that the essence of religion is man's search for God. You know, one of my favorite stories from David Platt, the author of the book Radical, that's been the theme of our year this year at SIAL, the Radical Experiment. David Platt told a story that while he was in Indonesia, he engaged in some conversation with a Buddhist minister and a Muslim leader. And he said, it sounds as though you both picture God, or whatever you call God, at the top of a mountain. It seems as if you believe that we're all at the bottom of the mountain, and I may take one route up the mountain, you may take another, and in the end, we'll all end up in the same place. They smiled as I spoke, and happily they replied, exactly, you understand. Platt says, then I leaned in and said, now let me ask you a question. What would you think if I told you that the God at the top of the mountain actually came down to where we are? What would you think if I told you that God doesn't wait for people to find their way to Him, but instead He comes to us? They thought for a moment and then responded, that would be great. And Platt replied, let me introduce you to Jesus. This is the gospel. And friends, this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what the celebration is about, not just on Christmas, but every day of the year. This is why we gather. This is why we share. We talk about the gospel, the good news. It's that God came down and became one of us. He didn't stay at the top of the mountain where He could have in His nice, comfortable Swiss chalet or whatever your description of the top of the mountain happens to be. We call it heaven. It's nicer than anything we've ever seen. But God could have stayed there. He could have sent messengers down, and He did. He could have sent messages to us, and He did. He could have appeared as a pillar of fire and clouds, and He did. But that wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the end of His demonstration of His love for us. He became one of us. Probably the most amazing miracle of all. And He's done some pretty good miracles. But becoming one of us may have been the greatest miracle. You know, there's about 100 different names for God in the Bible. And few are more powerful and meaningful than this word Emmanuel, that God is with us. The prophet Isaiah around 700 BC wrote, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call Him Emmanuel, as we saw earlier. How many virgins have been with child? You know, one of the things that I love about the Bible is that there are these ancient prophecies that were fulfilled that couldn't possibly be coincidence or accident. Like I say, how many virgins do you know of that have given birth to a baby? I know of one in history, and it was prophesied more than 700 years before the birth of Christ. If you would, just turn in your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, whichever the case may be, to Matthew chapter 1. You saw the video of it a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 1, this is one of the the most famous stories, the Christmas story. And one of the things that's really hard for myself at this time of year, actually at this very moment, is to try to tell or retell a story that you've heard 1,000 times. Some of you that are parents, you know, you have that, your kids have that favorite book. And read that book to me again. Read the story again. Read it again and again and again. And you're like, haven't you memorized it by now? Yeah, that's why we like it. Do it again and again. Sometimes we miss it. We miss the point. We're so familiar with it. We're so comfortable that we miss the whole point. And I hope in our remaining moments together, we can just sort of breathe some new life into this very famous passage. An angel came to Joseph, who was engaged to a woman who was pregnant, and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sin, from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet that we read a moment ago from Isaiah. The woman will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. People waited centuries for this announcement, and this was the most earth-shattering news possible. Before Jesus, people couldn't handle the presence of God. They couldn't see God. They couldn't touch God. They could barely hear him. When he spoke, things shook. There was fire. There were clouds, as I mentioned a moment ago. I mean, it was an awesome presence. It was like the Wizard of Oz, but real. You know, the wizard behind the curtain. They're all like, oh, goodness, we're so afraid. You don't have to be afraid of the wizard, but to be afraid of God. The presence of God, to be in awe and reverence for the Creator, the God of all, the Lord of all. And yet here, this prophecy says he's going to come in the most disarming way, the most humble way, and be born as a little baby. The mere idea of God being with us, much less becoming one of us, so radical. And it still is today. We've been studying the book of John recently, the Gospel, the Good News of John, around here. And I love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in the Message of John 1:14. It says, the world became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And friends, you may not feel him, but he is with us this morning. He was, he is, and he will be with us. And that's Emmanuel. That's God with us. That's Christmas. That's the good news, that God is with us today. I don't know about you, but if I were God in heaven, I would have stayed. I mean, I really would. I would have stayed in heaven, enjoyed my freedom, my streets of gold, enjoyed my view of earth. Pretty cool view of earth. I'd delegate to angels. I would write words in the sky. I would do something safe and comfortable to connect with humanity. But fortunately, I'm not God. I'm not really, just in case there was any confusion. The real image of Christmas is not a baby, but a king who came, died, conquered sin and death, and who lives today, my friends. He lives today. And I love how you started, Ben, talking about Easter. He is risen. And we say, he is alive. Sometimes it's easier to see God in the past than in the present. We read all throughout the Bible, it says God was with Joseph, God was with Moses, God was with David. It's great that God was with all those people, but you don't understand my situation, because God has been gone for 2,000 years and we have this nice book, but I wish he was with me. And friends, today I want to tell you that God is with you. Jesus made a promise to his followers that still amazes me to this day. Every time I read this one verse, I'm just in awe, sometimes perplexed. I don't totally understand it. But as Jesus is about to leave, keep in mind he left once. He died on the cross. His followers, they had a big funeral. It was like, oh my goodness, what happened? Everything that we spent all these years pouring our life into, it's gone, it's wasted, it's dead. Jesus shows up and says, hey, I'm back. They freak out. They're like, wow, let's hang out with this guy for 40 days. He's eating fish, having a good time. And then he's like, hey guys, I'm leaving again. Wait, again, we just got you back. We like that thing, you know, you walk through buildings and, you know, stuff happens and what. Like, we like hanging with you. We don't want you to leave. And Jesus says this, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, this wasn't just a metaphorical statement. When Jesus ascended to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem into heaven, he said it was good that he would leave. And this is what he said. I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away.
Has anyone ever said this to you? Hey, I'm leaving, but it's for your good. It doesn't really compute usually. Like, no, I want you to stay. Unless it's someone that drives you crazy, in which case you're like, there's the door, right? But for your good, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. In Acts 2, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, and it says repeatedly that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives inside those that follow Jesus Christ. That no longer is God with us as a baby or a man. God is with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I still don't totally get this. I've read it. I've studied it. I embrace it. But this idea that God lives inside of you and me is so incredible. And if you think, well, that maybe misunderstood the context or something. No, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Friends, this is why this building is not as significant as some make it out to be. Some think that if they go to a particular building, they're going to find God. There's nothing special about this building. It's lovely. Those of you that helped construct it years ago, thank you. I'm especially grateful for those that put the heating system in the building. I mean, it's a very nice place. It's a very nice place. But God's presence is not unique and special in this building, because Paul tells us that our bodies are the temple now. Our bodies house God. Do you need more proof? Look at this. Romans 8. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you, lives in you, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is, what does it say? Living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Now, if that's not enough, I've got a few more. These words to wash over you. Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Guard the good deposit, he says to Timothy, that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And John wrote, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit too. It's a package deal. It's not just that you get Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit. It's like buy one, get one free. How many of you like buy one, get one free deals, right? It's like, wow, super bonus. But wait, there's more. If you order now, you get the free, you get all those goofy ads. But sometimes people think, well, I've got Jesus. But there's also the Holy Spirit. That, friends, this season is not just looking back to a baby, but the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. This does not mean that we are God, of course, but rather that God lives in those who welcome Him. One of my favorite promises in the Bible comes from the book of Romans, where Paul writes that what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us from God's love? Nothing. That means no thing. No thing can separate us from God's love. Not a criminal record, not a divorce, not anything done to you, not your mistakes, not your sins. All you have to do is receive the gift of Jesus Christ, who became one of us to demonstrate His love for us. That's all. As we said last week, the greatest gift that you can give Jesus for His birthday is you, your heart, everything. And I promise you, He will take really good care of it. It's so hard in our culture because we're control freaks and we want independence. We don't want anyone to worry about us. Our pride says it's just about me and I'm in control. I don't need any help. I want to make all my choices. And Jesus says, you can have it your way or you can have it my way. Away in a manger, the little Lord Jesus, the Lord, Master, wants to be in total control of your life. Not because he's out to mess it up, because he knows best. Most of you in this room would say that you believe in God. And that's a really good thing. You believe Jesus came as a baby. That's great. Most people believe that. A lot of non-Christians believe that. In fact, the Bible says that demons believe in Jesus. They believe. They used to work for him, for Pete's sake. But just believing mentally, it's not enough. You've got to receive a gift. You have to embrace a gift. You have to go beyond just mentally saying, oh, that's a gift that I can take. You have to open the package. You have to make it yours. And what Jesus wants for his birthday this year is you. He wants a fully surrendered life. My prayer for us at SIO in 2013 in this new year is that we would be more fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ than ever before. That we would call him Master. We would call him Lord. We would call him King. And we would posture our lives in such a way that we are fully dependent on God for everything. Which is so hard. It's so hard in our culture, especially when we have so many things that get in the way. We have so many things that prop up our existence. The question is, have you fully surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? He came for you, but like any gift, it's not yours until you take it. It's a free gift. Will you receive? Emmanuel, God is with us. As we said, Advent is about waiting, and people waited for his first return. We await his return, but in the meantime, Emmanuel is not merely an historic figure. It's not that God was with us. Through the Holy Spirit, he is with us. He's right here in this place. He's with us now. He's with us this Christmas. God is with us now. And my question this morning simply is, are you with God? Just think about that question during this song. This morning we can rejoice because God, Emmanuel, is with us. God is here. Like love, you can't see Him, you can't touch Him, but He's real. He's real not only on His birthday, but He's real every day of the year. For followers of Jesus Christ, every day is Christmas, Christ's day. And I urge you to make this Christmas about Jesus Christ. He is with you and He wants nothing more than for you to be with Him.